Here's your fair value brief for Thursday, July 9, 2026. Let's start with the big moves. The Strait of Hormuz is choking global trade, not just oil, but everything. Brent crude is up 9% this week to $78.08, but the real damage is to shipping. Daily traffic through the Strait, which handles 20% of the world's oil and 19% of its LNG, has dropped to about 30% of pre-conflict levels. That means diesel and jet fuel costs are climbing, and so are container shipping rates for electronics, grain, and manufactured goods. Meanwhile, bond markets are betting the Fed will raise rates again. The 10-year Treasury yield jumped to 4.57%, its highest since November 2023, after FOMC minutes showed sharp divisions over whether inflation is sticking around. That means mortgage rates and credit card APRs are likely headed higher too. And then there's Apple's massive $30 billion deal with Broadcom for wireless and AI components through 2031. The takeaway? Even the world's most valuable company can't go it alone in AI's capital-heavy arms race. Now, to the big story. The Strait of Hormuz crisis is deepening, and global trade is seizing up. Oil prices grab the headlines, but the real disruption is happening out of sight. Commercial shipping has collapsed. Satellite data shows daily transits through the Strait, which carries 20% of the world's oil and 19% of its LNG, have plunged to about 30% of pre-war levels. Ships are turning off their transponders to avoid detection after the U.S.-Iran ceasefire fell apart and airstrikes resumed. It's effectively a de facto blockade, and the consequences go way beyond energy markets. This isn't just an oil shock, it's a full-scale trade crisis. Here's why this blockade is riskier than past conflicts. First, it's not a war zone, it's a toll booth. Iran and Oman have started demanding service fees for passage, which is really just a thinly disguised toll. The U.S. opposes it, but the economic effect is the same, a shipping bottleneck. Only Saudi Arabia and the UAE have pipeline capacity, about 5 million barrels a day, to bypass the strait. Everyone else, Iraq, Kuwait, Qatar, has no alternatives. And it's not just oil. LNG tankers, container ships, and bulk grain carriers are all stuck. Second, insurers are pulling back. War risk underwriters, including Lloyd's members, are dropping coverage for Hormuz crossings. For the few vessels still insured, premiums have jumped fivefold. Maersk and Hapag-Lloyd now charge war risk surcharges of $50 to $100 per container on Middle East routes. Without insurance, no major carrier will sail. Third, the ripple effects are just starting. Retail gasoline is up about 10 cents a gallon this week, but diesel and jet fuel, critical for trucking and air travel, are rising even faster. European natural gas futures spiked to 49 euros per megawatt hour overnight, and analysts warn a prolonged LNG halt could push prices to 74 euros within weeks. And non-oil shipping costs, for everything from electronics to wheat, are climbing as ships reroute around the Cape of Good Hope, adding 10 to 14 days to deliveries. Finally, the Fed's inflation fight just got harder. FOMC minutes released Wednesday revealed a growing split among policymakers over a possible July rate hike. The Hormuz crisis pushes the balance toward tightening. Brent crude above $78 will lift headline inflation, while shipping delays risk reigniting supply chain price pressures for imports. Bonds have already reacted. The 10-year Treasury yield surged to 4.57%, up from 4.35% last Friday. Now, here's what to watch in the days ahead. Traffic levels. Pre-war averages saw about 120 ships per day. If sustained transits stay below 40 vessels, Brent could push toward $85 to $90. Insurance decisions. Lloyd's underwriters meet Friday to finalize Hormuz coverage rules. Higher premiums or outright exclusions would worsen the gridlock. Pipeline limits. Saudi and UAE bypass routes are running at over 90% capacity. Any disruption, sabotage, maintenance, would send oil prices sharply higher. This isn't just an energy shock, it's a supply chain crisis with oil as the first domino. In 2019, a six-month Hormuz slowdown cut 0.3% off global GDP. Today's economy, already strained by tight monetary policy and labor shortages, can't afford that kind of damage. Now, let's look at what's moving today. Markets are split. Tech stocks are riding the AI wave, while bonds and commodities are pricing in the Hormuz fallout. Nasdaq 100 futures rose 0.5%, the Dow held steady, and Treasury yields kept climbing. Oil's impact is spreading far beyond the pump. Brent crude stayed above $78 after a 9% weekly gain, but the deeper issue is global shipping. Traders now assume a prolonged standoff, with Iran's 50 million stranded barrels adding a $5 to $10 risk premium to every barrel. The immediate consequences? RBOB gasoline futures are up about 10 cents per gallon. Retail prices follow in 5 to 7 days. Diesel and jet fuel are climbing twice as fast, hitting trucking firms and airlines hard. And Maersk's surcharges, effectively a tax on global trade, now apply to all Middle East-bound cargo. The Fed's hawkish shift is rattling bonds. FOMC minutes showed a divided committee, with several officials pushing for a July rate hike due to stubborn services inflation. The bond market reacted immediately. The 10-year Treasury yield hit 4.57%, its highest since November 2023, and the 2-year yield climbed to 4.21%. The result? Mortgage rates, auto loans, and corporate borrowing costs will all rise. The only upside? The U.S. dollar index stayed flat at 100.97, as traders bet the Fed's hawkishness will backfire by slowing growth later this year. AI remains the sole bright spot. Broadcom jumped 4% in pre-market trading after locking in a $30 billion-plus chip supply deal with Apple through 2031. The agreement covers custom wireless and AI components and underscores a key reality. Even Apple, with its in-house silicon, can't fully self-suffice in AI's capital-heavy race. Nvidia, up 20% over the past month, was unchanged on the news. Crypto's quiet accumulation trend continues. Bitcoin edged up 1% to $62,900. But the more telling metric is exchange balances. Bitcoin supplies on exchanges hit 2017 lows, and Ethereum supplies fell to 2015 levels. Long-term holders are pulling coins off exchanges, either for cold storage or staking. Shrinking liquidity amplifies volatility if sentiment shifts. The divergence between tech optimism and geopolitical risk can't last forever. Markets are pricing AI-driven growth and geopolitical chaos simultaneously. The tension isn't about which narrative wins. It's how long the split can persist before one side forces a reckoning. Now, the big picture. Bond markets are sending warning signals. The 10-year Treasury yield climbed to 4.57%, its highest level since November 2023, as traders ramp up bets on a July Fed hike. The move reflects a recalibration of risks, and the Hormuz crisis is the trigger. Here's the inflation chain reaction. Brent above $78 means higher transport costs, which means persistent inflation. Persistent inflation gives Fed hawks more influence, which raises the odds of a rate hike. And higher rate hike odds send bond prices down and yields up. FOMC minutes confirmed the divide. Policymakers are split, but hawks emphasize two risks: a labor market that's still too tight, with unemployment at 4.1%, and oil shocks reigniting inflation, which is happening now. With Hormuz and chaos, both risks are active. The yield curve is sending mixed signals. The 10-year/2-year spread sits at 0.35 percentage points, no longer inverted, which is a recession signal, but dangerously thin. The bond market's message? No recession yet, but the Fed's room for error is shrinking. The dollar's unusual stability is also worth noting. Normally, rising U.S. yields would boost the dollar. Yet the dollar index remains flat at 100.97, and the euro holds above 1.14. Traders are betting the Fed's hawkish stance will over-tighten the economy, forcing a policy reversal by year-end. For consumers, the impact is clear. The average 30-year fixed mortgage rate sits at 7.1%. If the 10-year yield stays above 4.5%, expect 7.5% by August. A July hike would push the prime rate to 11.75%, increasing costs for revolving debt like credit cards. On the upside, short-term Treasury bills now yield 5.2 to 5.3%, the safest high-yield option while waiting out volatility. Now, let's talk about oil's $80 barrier and the hidden costs beyond gasoline. Brent crude has jumped 9% this week to $78.08, but the broader economic damage comes from second-order effects. Gasoline futures are up about 10 cents a gallon. Retail prices follow in 5 to 7 days. Diesel and jet fuel are rising faster, hitting airlines and freight carriers hard. And shipping surcharges act as a stealth tax. Maersk's $50 to $100 per container war risk fee applies to all cargo, from electronics to agricultural goods. Here's the stagflation feedback loop. Higher oil leads to higher inflation, which leads to Fed hikes, which slow growth. Slower growth then reduces oil demand, pushing prices down. When prices retreat, inflation cools, and the Fed cuts, allowing growth to rebound. That's the optimistic scenario. The pessimistic alternative? Oil stays high, the Fed overtightens, and stagflation takes hold, slow growth with high prices. Bond markets now assign a 30% probability to this outcome. Around the world, the Middle East is waging economic warfare, and this crisis differs from 1973. The collapse of the U.S.-Iran ceasefire has triggered more than a military standoff. It's an economic blockade with global consequences, different from the 1973 oil embargo in both mechanism and reach. Here's how the Strait of Hormuz toll system works. Iran and Oman have proposed service fees for commercial vessels, a de facto toll. While Washington opposes it, the result is the same, a shipping gridlock. Only Saudi Arabia and the UAE can bypass the strait via pipelines, with a combined capacity of about 5 million barrels a day. All other Gulf exporters lack alternatives. Then there's the unspoken insurance crisis. War risk insurers, including Lloyd's of London syndicates, are withdrawing coverage for Hormuz transits. Without insurance, no major shipping line will risk the route, no matter how urgent the cargo. LNG is Europe's ticking time bomb. Qatar, the world's top LNG exporter, ships 80% of its output through Hormuz. A prolonged blockade could drive European gas prices to 70 euros per megawatt hour, double last winter's peak. That would be a direct blow to EU industries already struggling with energy costs. And China is strategically stockpiling. As Washington reimposes sanctions, Beijing is accumulating Iranian crude. Tankers are disabling transponders to conceal shipments, keeping about 1 million barrels a day flowing and giving China leverage over global supply. The key difference from 1973? The world today has larger oil buffers, but the shipping paralysis poses the greater threat. If Hormuz remains closed, expect higher costs for any goods shipped by sea, delayed deliveries as vessels reroute around Africa, adding 2 to 3 weeks, and industrial slowdowns in Europe and Asia if energy prices spike. China's also making moves in AI chips, and Washington is responding. Beijing is easing restrictions on NVIDIA's H200 AI chips, allowing domestic firms to purchase them, as long as they stay in China. It's a temporary workaround for U.S. export controls, but the deeper signal is China's push for AI self-sufficiency, even if it means relying on American technology for now. The U.S. is tightening the noose. New export controls now require licenses for sharing advanced AI models, like those from Anthropic or OpenAI, with foreign entities. And in the rare earths chess match, the U.S. is investing $400 million in MP Materials' California mine to reduce dependence on Chinese supply. Yet China still controls over 80% of refining capacity, meaning the bottleneck isn't mining, it's processing. Now, let's look at the companies making headlines. The race for AI infrastructure is accelerating. Broadcom secured a $30 billion supply deal with Apple, sending shares up 4% in pre-market trading. The agreement, which runs through 2031, covers custom wireless and AI components and highlights a critical reality. Even Apple, which designs its own silicon, can't fully verticalize in AI's capital-intensive landscape. Micron locked in automotive chip demand, gaining 1% after signing long-term supply contracts with Ford and General Motors, part of $22 billion in customer commitments. The deals coincide with Micron's new Singapore fabrication plant and India's first semiconductor facility, both slated to boost memory chip output. AMD and Meta's 6-gigawatt AI partnership positions AMD as NVIDIA's primary rival in data center infrastructure. Shipments of Instinct GPUs to Meta begin in late 2026. Beyond tech, strategic moves are happening across sectors. Tesla expanded its Robotaxi operations in Miami and teased the new Roadster, expected to launch within weeks. Shares dipped 2%, but the focus is shifting from EV sales to services like autonomous ride-hailing and energy storage as electric vehicle growth slows. Vertex Pharmaceuticals bet $8.8 billion on rare diseases, acquiring Crinetics Pharmaceuticals to expand its endocrine and gastrointestinal disorder treatments. The deal follows AbbVie's $10.9 billion purchase of Apogee Therapeutics, signaling Big Pharma's intensified focus on high-margin, niche therapies. On Semiconductor acquired Synaptics for $7 billion, strengthening its position in automotive and industrial chips and underscoring the scramble for specialized semiconductors as AI and electrification reshape demand. Rocket Lab's $8 billion merger with Iridium Communications combines space launch with satellite connectivity. The new entity will compete with SpaceX's Starlink in global internet and IoT services, a bet on space-based infrastructure. And Levi Strauss raised its guidance on strong direct-to-consumer sales, now forecasting 7 to 7.5% revenue growth, up from 5.5 to 6.5%. Shares climbed 3% in pre-market trading. From Washington, the Fed's inflation dilemma is sharpening as the Iran crisis escalates. FOMC minutes released Wednesday exposed a deeply divided committee on inflation, and the Hormuz escalation has raised the stakes for the July 30th to 31st meeting. Hawks are gaining ground. Several officials, 3 to 4 of the 12 voters, now favor a July rate hike. Their argument? The labor market remains too tight, and oil above $78 risks reigniting inflation. Bond markets now price a 50% chance of a hike, up from near zero last month. Doves are struggling to hold the line. They argue that policy lags mean rate hikes take 12 to 18 months to fully impact the economy, and the Fed has already raised rates 11 times since 2022. They also warn that a hike now could worsen a slowdown if oil prices stay elevated. But with gasoline prices rising, that argument is losing traction. The Hormuz crisis introduces a stagflationary threat. Higher oil is inflationary, while slower growth is recessionary. The Fed faces a lose-lose choice: hike and risk a hard landing, or hold and allow inflation to reaccelerate. Key dates ahead include the July 30th to 31st FOMC meeting, where the decision hinges on the July 12th CPI report, forecast at plus 0.2% month over month, and the July 26th PCE inflation data, the Fed's preferred gauge. And Powell's Jackson Hole speech on August 22nd will be critical if the Fed skips July, as it could signal a September move. Bottom line, the Fed is boxed in. Oil is doing its inflation-fighting work for it, but if Brent tops $85, all bets are off. Now, here's something worth knowing: oil's risk premium and why it's here to stay. Oil prices spike during Middle East crises, but why do they stay elevated even after immediate threats fade? The answer lies in the risk premium. Here's how it works. Assume oil trades at $70 based on supply and demand fundamentals. When Hormuz tensions flare, traders price in the probability that 20% of global supply could face delays. That uncertainty adds, say, $10, not because barrels are missing, but because the risk of disruption is now embedded. That $10 is the risk premium. Here's why it's sticking now. First, Hormuz is a logistical nightmare, not just a choke point. Even without attacks, delays and insurance hikes add costs. Vessels are rerouting around Africa, adding 10 to 14 days to voyages. Second, market memory. Traders recall 1973, 1990, and 2019. Each time, oil stayed high for months. History suggests this premium won't vanish quickly. Third, no quick fixes. Saudi and UAE pipelines can bypass the strait, but capacity is limited to about 5 million barrels a day. The rest of the world's oil remains hostage to shipping lanes. Current assessment: Brent trades at about $78, with $5 to $10 of that pure risk premium. If the strait reopens smoothly, that premium could evaporate. If tensions drag on, it could grow, pushing oil toward $90. Why this matters? Gasoline prices lag oil by 2 to 3 weeks, so today's premium means higher pump costs are coming. Airfares and shipping rates are tied to jet fuel and diesel, which are more sensitive to supply scares than crude. and the Fed watches oil closely. A sustained premium could keep inflation elevated and interest rates higher for longer. Here's what to watch this week. Today, Thursday, July 9th, U.S. Treasury auctions $72 billion in 17-week bills and $39 billion in 10-year notes. Weak demand means higher yields and rising borrowing costs. Also, weekly jobless claims at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. A surprise jump would signal a cooling labor market, the Fed's top concern. Friday, July 10th, Canada's employment report at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Forecasts call for 11.2 thousand new jobs and unemployment holding at 6.6%. Weak data could delay the Bank of Canada's next hike. Then, at 10 a.m., the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Report. Falling confidence could mean a pullback in spending. Monday, July 13th, China trade data overnight. Slowing exports would signal weakening global demand. Bad news for multinationals. Tuesday, July 14th, U.S. CPI at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Forecasts call for a 0.2% month-over-month increase. This is the single most critical data point for the Fed's July 30th decision. That's it for today. Stay ahead of the shifts.